Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for the people who make fine art with needle and thread. And we are traveling to Australia this week to really check out some fine art. And we have with us from the Embroiderers Guild New South Wales organization. I mean, I was going to say club or guild, but I mean, guild is more than a guild. So we have with us Wendy Schmid, who is president. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
Thanks for joining us. And
my pleasure.
Yes, and then April McNee, who is the coordinator of the exhibition and gallery.
Yep, that's me. Hey.
Yeah, April made a mistake because April asked if I would just mention about an upcoming exhibit and found herself doing a whole show. So there.
Yep, rookie error on my part.
yeah, that'll teach you. Just send me an announcement next time, then you won't end up on the show, see? So you ladies, this is, of course, you know, what do I know about Australian needlework other than the few guests that we've had and how active it is? But doing research on your the Embroiderers Guild, this is quite an operation. And then I was just learning today that the building you're in, you just renovated last year. Is that just opened a renovation last year?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
It's taken us 10 years to redevelop the building.
And oh, my.
We raised all the money ourselves.
So that's a major project. So did
yes.
And you lived in the building all the time, or was it?
No. It was a 100-year-old building that needed safe stairs and safe doors and exits. So we had the local council saying we had to fix it. And we had clever members who knew how to not just fix it, but to give us more.
Oh. Well, from the pictures, it sure looks beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it's
like
lovely
it.
To be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I didn't note the month, last year, early last year that you were able to occupy?
We moved in December 2017.
Okay.
Well, that was our first exhibition. We had a hasty 2 weeks move in November, and the first exhibition started on the 1st of December.
Yeah, that hasty, that'd be a good word.
It's efficient.
It's called teamwork, yeah. And the builders were 6 months late.
Oh, my. Well, that always happens, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So this building, so you have galleries, and it sounds like you have what the Threaded Needle is a store, or effectively a store and a library. I mean, tell about what all you have in this building.
Yeah, so we've got a library. We're actually sitting in the library at the minute. It's a specialist textile art sort of library collection. We've got a store called The Threaded Needle, which has got all our sort of embroidery supplies, which is great for workshops, the gallery spaces on all three floors, and a collection room, which holds our historic and contemporary collection. So it's good. It's all happening in here.
I guess so. Wait, no, you said gallery space on all three floors?
Yeah, so the main gallery space is like sort of obviously the entrance level, and that's where we hold the bulk of our exhibitions. So we've also got gallery spaces on our first and second floors, which we use more for members' work, and so we can have a possibility of having a few different exhibitions going at once, which is a nice ability to have.
Well, yeah, that's more than nice. That's special. Wow. So you had this collection is, I assume, of size and has a lot of old pieces in it?
Yes, there's over 3,000 pieces in the collection.
Okay, that's of size, yes.
The oldest is 17th century, and we represent every textile, every technique, every type of design over all those periods of time. And there's a lot of contemporary work still being added.
And is this all Australian needlework or?
No. This is every culture from around the world. Australia is built up of people from every culture more than you can imagine. And so they have brought their skills. They have brought their pieces. The pieces in the collection have been donated or either bought from donated funds. We're kind of passionate about it.
Well, you should be. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all know Australia is really a true melting pot of cultures and people. And so you can really represent that through this collection then.
Exactly. We're a melting pot of embroidery styles. So it's, you know, the best place to be.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, is it a restoration too? I mean, do you do that, or do you have to send that out?
We do that. We sort of teach people how to do that. But that's a lot of that is volunteer work, and we research and learn. The collection allows us to look at the real pieces, how they were really made, the real fabrics that they were stitched on. And so if we want to recreate or learn those traditional techniques, this is why we use the collection.
And when you say all types, we have hardanger, cross stitch, needlepoint.
Yep, we represent different countries, like the hardanger is from Norway. We represent other particular stitches, especially in white work, that come from many European countries. We represent and also teach a lot of the Indian embroidery techniques, like the shisha mirrors. But the main thing is there are so many different stitches. Every time you try a new stitch and make a mistake, we add that to the list of the thousands.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So this is this collection, you run exhibits on an ongoing basis, it sounds like, but then do we also have special things where people can come in and explore the collection outside of exhibits?
Definitely. Our exhibitions tend to be actually contemporary textile artists. We're really trying to give a space for new and current textile artists to exhibit their work. And then occasionally we'll sort of splice in historic exhibitions from pieces from our collection. So that's sort of, it tends to be a bit of a mix of contemporary and historic exhibitions happening.
We recently had one on machine embroidery with invited contemporary machine artists. Another whole gallery was full of machine embroidery from our collection. And a lot of the younger women didn't understand that machine embroidery goes back a long way.
Okay, so I'm going to be in that group. I did not know. I thought that was a fairly modern thing, but not so.
No. As soon as there's a machine, as soon as there's a new needle, somebody's off playing with it.
Yep, that's a probably true statement. Yep, no doubt about it. Yeah. So you said, April, you were telling me that you guys are in your grubby clothes because you're hanging an exhibition right now. Or
we
today.
We are hanging an exhibition, yes. So in December, January, we have our tutors all put in a piece to exhibit. We've got a lot of qualified guild tutors that run a lot of our courses and workshops. But we've also got, we run a lot of courses as well. So we've got currently an exhibition from the Creative Correspondence course, which is a needlework course you can do by correspondence. We've also got the Introduction to Embroidery students' work and the Contemporary Stitch and Design. So we've got a whole bunch of exhibitions happening at the moment, and it gives you a sort of taste of what the course would look like, so people can all sign up at the moment and then commit for the next year or however long they want to do the course for. So it's been a fun exhibition.
So this is really an excellent way to keep your members active then, is by participating in these exhibits.
Yeah, that's really important to members. Embroidery can be a very quiet thing. It can be a very lonely thing. And so our workshop rooms are also used for social groups. And the exhibiting through all sorts of different reasons for exhibiting seems to make a big difference to a lot of people.
And then, April, you're responsible for coordinating all this.
Yeah, that's my main role around here. So, yeah, I'm chatting to sort of members or artists, whether they're national or international, and sort of keeping a continuous variety of exhibitions coming through the doors. And then getting them up on the walls and getting them down and all that jazz. But it's great fun.
And how many a year? It sounds like it's a pretty good rotation.
12 a year. We do one a month, more or less, and that's just in the main gallery space. We've also got the continuous variety of them having upstairs. So it's quite a fast turnover of exhibitions we have, but it's great. It keeps people interested. Local community can come in and sort of see a new thing every time they come past.
Yeah, okay, you're getting me hooked right now, because that's exactly that. I'm thinking, all right, no matter, every month I can go see something different. That's wow. Oh, that's exciting.
It's quite a variety as well. So
at the same time, because we're in the new building, we're linking workshops to exhibitions. So you can see things on the wall, be interested, and then sign up to learn the introductory stage of it, or you can go into the design stage, or you can perfect skills that you already have. So that's also what we're working with April.
Okay, so then the exhibits have a whole educational wing to them other than just viewing what's on the walls.
Well, mainly that's what we're all about. We're really here for education, for people at that beginning level, to help extend people and to inspire.
And how many members? It sounds like you have a lot.
Right across New South Wales, which is a pretty big place, we've got about 1,300, and they're from age 5 to age 90 plus.
Yeah. I was really interested because I've had discussions on more than one podcast with people about bringing in and getting young people involved, getting them, first exposing them to needlework, but then getting them involved. And you guys seem to have a really active program to get kids at a very young age, at least with a needle and thread in hand.
Yep, exactly. We get them in young.
Yeah. What do you do that? You do that through the schools or just directly?
Actually, both. So we've got a Junior Stitches group, and they run school holiday workshops here at the Guild headquarters. And they tend to be sort of, you know, introductory things that the kids can just sort of get their hands onto straight off the bat and create something by the end of the day. And again, we're starting to sort of tie those in to the current exhibitions. But they've been great fun workshops. We had one just a couple of days ago. School's just about to go back here in Sydney. And then we'll have a presence at the Sydney Royal Easter Show this year. And there'll be sewing activities there for the kids to try. And then they can know about more workshops they can come to if they want to. And then we also go to schools directly. So we're really trying to sort of encourage them on all different points, I suppose, to come in and have a go.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I assume that you get equal interest from boys as well as girls.
Yes, and we always have. And we've been going for 62 years now, and there's always been a good, healthy mixture. This is an art form.
Yeah. Oh, so, and that's the way you present it then, not a craft or anything. It's an art form.
Well, we work on that, not the European way. We work on that the Asian way. The Asian way of thinking, craft and art all live together. You have to be really good at your craft for it to become art.
I'm hanging on to that one. That's good. Now, because we've had discussions. As a matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, I spoke with Jessica Grimm, who lives in Germany, and she's been struggling with that whole concept, trying to convince people in Germany that this is an art form. And that she should be classified for healthcare purposes and other things as an artist. And, the conversation was the struggle she's had just trying to get people to see it as an art form because it's needle and thread. You're just a woman sewing. You know, that doesn't count. And,
yes.
And of course you can imagine the frustration because she does gold work and all other kind of things.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And well, that's how we start our children because of the art they do in our schools here. They're exposed to all sorts of media. So when they come to us, we're really exposing them to fabric and thread and all sorts of bits of glitz as another medium for them to play with.
And it's been a real aid having the gallery as well because it's given us an ability to sort of present this needlework, whatever, whether it's contemporary or historic, as an art form in an art space. So I think it's easier in some ways for people to sort of accept it as, you know, fine art when it's displayed in that way. So I think it's been helpful for us in that way, having the gallery.
And I assume that through the kids, you've picked up several adults.
Yes. Mothers decide that they've been putting it off too long and the mothers come. But it's a moving thing. And all through the state, the children, if there's volunteers in a certain country town or in a certain city suburb that's a long way from us, it's a moving thing. While ever there's volunteers, the kids come.
So you get that that churn going that keeps the hobby alive? Because that's just a concern that I know that I have, is that the hobby is, if we don't get a nice stream of young people involved, that eventually it just dies off and we lose all these beautiful techniques and all the history. And
Well, we're not going to do that. If you want to start some kids, start them on a bookmark with running stitch. Kids today understand bookmarks.
Yeah.
It seems strange, but they do. I go into a school, and if you do that, they finish their bookmark in about half an hour.
Uh-huh.
You just don't ask them to thread the needle. You thread the needles for them.
Oh, okay. Get them over the hard part.
Exactly. Get them stitching.
Now, is art still a part of the school curriculum there in Australia?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much. And that that very European idea of the artist is someone who thinks and does something with the idea. But here, often the kids are allowed to just start with the idea, and it doesn't matter how they turn the idea into something, they can use anything. Where in a lot of Asian countries, their philosophy is you're perfecting your technique in whatever area you love. And from that, the art comes from the heart.
That's so encouraging, because here in the States, we've essentially eliminated all of that, home economics, the cooking and woodworking and all those things have just essentially been eliminated from the schools. And it just, to me, that was an important part of my overall education. And I really think it's sad that kids don't get exposed to that anymore unless they seek it out outside of school.
And, definitely.
It's just, to me, it's just a crime. So I'm glad to hear somebody in the world is keeping this alive.
Yeah, but we're also hoping to be in some ways a resource to those teachers, because, art teachers can't be an expert in every single possible media you could use for art. And so, we're hoping to be a resource to the students in the schools, but also to the teachers to kind of give them the opportunity to learn some new skills, see how embroidery could be played out in art, and so therefore help them to help the kids figure out how embroidery could play a part in their artwork.
Mm-hmm. So they have an excellent resource at their disposal then. That's great.
That's what we try to be.
Yeah, as best you can, yes. Well, I'm a former science teacher, and so I have a full appreciation of how outside resources can really enhance any curriculum. And the kids get riveted when there's a guest in there to help them out or to help do a class all of those things just add so much to the daily school grind. So that's great when you can do that kind of thing. I'm intrigued by the exhibitions. What is Gallery 76? Where does that come into play? I couldn't piece that in.
Okay, well, our little block of land and our 100-year-old building is at 76 Queen Street, Concord West, which is a little part of Sydney right in the middle, literally right in the middle of this huge city of Sydney. And in 1980s, a lot of things happened differently in Sydney. And they couldn't stay where they were. It was being rented and prices went up. So a very brave little group of ladies and their husbands, we all do it all together, bought this little place that nobody else wanted. There were five little businesses run from it and they'd all left with all their junk. So that they got together and they put it all together. There was even a Coca-Cola machine we had to get rid of. So over the years, they fixed it and fixed it, and then early in 2000, we got a letter from the council to say our 100-year-old stairs weren't safe, our front door wasn't safe, and we had to fix something. This is happening all over Sydney. And so, very fortunately, one of our darling members is a retired architect who had worked on this sort of thing, and she got us going. She put out an expressions of interest. We were flooded with architects and builders who just wanted to help us. So we were able to pick the absolute best. They looked at what we had. We had a little laneway on the side. 76 Queen Street became the focus of the area because everyone wanted to know what was going on. We were out there talking to our members, explaining why on earth we wanted to bother to do it. and we had a lot of reasons, a lot of help, and we did it. And so then we always just thought we're in Queen Street. We'll call it the Queen Street Galleries, and we found out someone else had that name. So then someone said, you've got to let people find it. So 76 is what we did, Gallery 76, because we're pushing the fact we are galleries. Mm-hmm. And you can come 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. I love that. There's just that clear emphasis on art.
Yes.
Your whole marketing presentation is, this is art. That's great.
That came from one of our founders. One of our founders was a very important woman in Sydney, from an important family, and she was an artist as well as an embroiderer. So she was designing and embroidering and linked with the UK Guild. And then other women who came were experts in techniques. And from the very beginning, they were the two things that we're all about. And we have good, bads and uglies, but we always pull back to the fact we must be working for the best technique we can each manage, the best research and understanding, and moving ahead with the best art we can manage.
April, take me through an exhibit. Take me through from concept to finished display. What is that process like for you?
It would depend whether or not it was an external artist we had coming in or whether it was one we were doing ourselves. So, for instance, the big one we have coming up in June is the Sampler Festival, and that includes an exhibition, and that's going to be an internal exhibition. So we have a number of historic samplers in our collection, and so we knew we sort of wanted to do this sort of to give, in some ways, these pieces in our collection the possibility to be shown. But we also knew a lot of our members had pieces they owned themselves in their homes. So we had this sort of group of pieces, but we sort of sent out a request to our members as well, saying, if you have samplers in your homes, ones you've been working on, contemporary pieces, let us know and we'd love to include them in our exhibition. So for the last 6 months or so, we've really been looking around, asking people, asking collectors. And we brought together a whole diverse range of samplers, right back from the very earliest to super contemporary. Some people would even argue, you know, is it a sampler? Pieces. And they're all going to go in together in the one exhibition. So, yeah, that's sort of how we've approached that one. And we're putting a lot of festival events around it. So it'll be a great big fun event with ways to get involved.
Now, is there some... I got to believe you get a lot of participation, so there must be some kind of screening process, or do you try to get every single contribution into the exhibit?
We'd love to get as many as we can into the exhibit. Obviously, we have to draw the line somewhere. We've only got some, you know, there is some limit to our space. So we'll tend to try and look for a diversity of pieces. If there's two things that are a bit similar, maybe we'd say maybe another time, just because, you know, you've only have so much on the walls. Right. We have got the luxury of having quite a bit of space here. So, you know, where we can, we'd love to include as many diverse examples as possible.
And this this sampler exhibition is a sampler festival. I mean, it's the exhibition. When is this now? When does it open?
It opens on the 14th of June.
Yeah, well, the exhibition will run from the 1st of June, but the festival and all the activities will start on the 14th, so that's when it really picked up.
Okay.
So it's the whole month of June.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then the festival will be workshops and...
seminar and talks and a visit to one of our museums that has a couple of special historic samplers and a visit to the main library in Sydney that has other works on samplers. A sampler is just a try. A sampler is to try.
Well, I tell you, I'm a needle pointer at heart. And just in the last couple of years have come to really appreciate samplers and reproduction samplers and the history behind them and the people who reproduce these samplers, what they learn about the girls and the history and how, you know, the history of the time they lived. And it's just, for me, become a real area of fascination. I'm working on a sampler right now from Hands Across the Sea samplers. And I just love that. The whole thing has really just kind of hooked me in, because there's so much more to it than just X's on a piece of linen.
And also, a lot of people have that misunderstanding that it's just cross stitch. And we're starting in the last week of February with 4 days of workshop with a visiting academic embroidery tutor and researcher from South Australia, from Adelaide. And Di Fisher has studied and done a PhD in this whole area. And the sampler that she has created has a whole mixture of stitches that were used at that time. And when we first started to advertise it, the hardest part was to make our members and students understand it's not cross-stitch.
And it's interesting that you should mention Hands Across the Sea samplers, Gary, because one of the co-founders, Sandra Moffat, she actually lives just outside of Sydney in the Blue Mountains, and she's going to come down and present at our symposium day about the sort of the process of a historic sampler making, and specifically she's going to chat about the Temple of Fame motif, which is found in a lot of early English samplers. So yeah, we really like them as well, and the history is fantastic, so we're thrilled to have her speaking at our symposium day.
Ah, she's a terrific lady too. Yeah, that's a real plus there. So then what other exhibitions? You've got the festival, and then the craft and quilt fair. I was intrigued by that, because quilting is part of this operation too then.
There are Australian Quilters Guilds. There's a New South Wales Quilters Guild called Quilt New South Wales. And once a year in June, there's a big event organised that they exhibit at. They don't have premises like us. We have members who cross over, but this is their main exhibition, and it's competition as well as exhibition. And the event organisers bring all sorts of suppliers, and there's all sorts. You can buy everything you can imagine. So, but we, each of the guilds, the Lace Guild, the Needlework Tools Guild, there's all sorts of guilds. The event organisers give us all a little free space. But over the years, we've dazzled them with our display and our chat, and they give us the biggest space now. So this year they have asked for an artist studio space. So the team of volunteers organising that, who are tutors as well as members, and they're putting together a display that looks like you will walk into an artist studio. There will be an artist sitting there. They will take it in turns over the several days. And it's an interactive space. There will be installations. There will be two interactive spaces, two installations. I'm getting a special message here. But they've also linked it to the sampler idea, so that one is an interactive space and the other is the artist studio, and the third thing are the installations. Right, I've got it right. So this brings people from all over Australia, all over New South Wales, and we do get overseas visitors who come specially for some of these events. And after these, this is also June, when that's over, that whole exhibition comes here to our building. So while people are at the show and they see it for the first time, or I didn't know the Embroiderers Guild existed, they know it's here for all of July. And we've done this 3 or 4 times now, and that's where some of our new members come from. Mm. And they might not be stitchers, but they'll fall in love with the library, they'll fall in love with the history, and they start because they love that, and before you know it, they're making their bookmark.
This is Wendy's gateway drug, the bookmark.
Yes, I picked right up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So July will be a big month here as well, because we'll have the samplers in June, and then July we're going to have two exhibitions. We've got the craft and quilt fair installations. We also have a refugee artist, a local refugee from Sydney, who's exhibiting in our main gallery space downstairs, and he does really bright, colourful work with a technique he created himself, which is fascinating. We've got student exhibitions happening this year from a local university. We're hoping to do a 1920s exhibition at the end of the year to get ready for 2020. And that's going to be a collaborative exhibition with some of our own collection, and with a local dress collection group called Cavalcade. And then we'll have a bunch of contemporary ones as well. So it should be a really interesting year, exhibition-wise.
You guys are just flat-out fun.
Yes, that's it.
Flat-out, yeah, and fun.
It's the magic of the building and the magic of the architects we had. They had a great passion. We think we've got a passion, but they had. You walk into this building, you're surrounded by embroidery, you're surrounded by this beautiful, quiet space, and you just come alive with it. And you see the art, you just feel right, you come to the library, you just want to be part of it.
What's a typical day? I'm sure there's no typical day, but what is a day like there in the building? I mean, do you have people coming in and out and stitching, using the library? What's that like?
Yep. There'll be social groups in one of the workshops. There'll be a tutor with people in another workshop teaching a planned lesson. There'll be researchers in the library. There will be volunteers in the library. There'll be a tutor collecting books ready for her classes. Almost every workshop, the tutors take books from the library, pieces from the collection, and that helps the students understand how much more there is here on offer. It's up to you to use it. On Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, and this being February, the beginning of our year, will be an exciting day. The Introduction to Embroidery Year One people start. They're taken on a tour of the building. They're introduced to the library, the books, the collection, and then they start their stitching. They go through several different techniques over 2 years. And on that day, the excitement on the first day of the month is very exciting. And when there's on Friday night, we've got the exhibition opening. So that's a different group of people. And we've got locals walking past. We've got five terrific cafes around us, and people come and go. It's alive.
Wow, that's needlework at its best right there. Yep. Is this virtually all volunteer work?
Yes, absolutely. April is a three-day paid employee. Janet, our admin officer, she's 5 days. Everything else is volunteer.
You're getting a lot done with volunteers. That's a real challenge. That's terrific.
It is.
Yeah.
But embroidery is like that. You know how you don't want it to die. You want it to stay alive. These people want it to stay alive, so they volunteer in all sorts of different ways. We don't even pay for cleaners for the building. That's volunteers too.
This is
a three-level building.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's just
It's real
great.
Dedication to the cause of embroidery. That's, you know.
Yeah. Well, it gives us so much pleasure. We get such a sense of well-being, and every one of us really is a little wounded bird, and embroiderers put it back together.
Yes. Yeah, that's a loaded statement right there. There's a lot behind that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, any stitcher understands that.
So you guys also, both of you must stitch quite a bit then, or at least try to.
I'd say try to in my case, you know, successfully in Wendy's case. I'm very much an amateur stitcher, still Gary. So
April has come to us from the museum, the exhibiting, the history and the love of vintage. And we need that. We need that.
Yeah. But I'm an appreciator more than a doer.
But we need that. We need that fresh set of eyes from that point of view. And she's just been wonderful. I joined the Guild in 1992.
That's the year I was born, Wendy.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
I didn't say I wasn't even born. Yes, so I came to an open day in the old building. They'd only been here a little while, and it was their first open day in this building, and they weren't sure anybody would come. And I fell in love with the library. I signed up and became a member straight away. And in those days, it wasn't open at the weekend. It was only open during the week, and I was working, and so I could only come. I had to wait till from May till the following February for the Introduction to Embroidery class to start, and that's how I started. Hmm. But I had stitched with my mother before, not my grandmothers, they were hopeless, but my mother was wonderful. and it just brought me alive again. I tucked it all away, and it just brought everything out. And I struggled with the idea of design because I just wanted to follow patterns like I always had. But from the beginning, I had this wonderful tutor, Effie Mitrofanis, who's still with us and doing wonderful things. And she just very, very gently found out the bit I was terrified of, colour, and she let me use variegated thread.
There we go. There's your out, so right there.
There it is. So gradually they taught me. I was terrified of design, and they taught me just design is what you like. So I now pick up a piece of fabric I like the feel of, thread I like the feel of, and then it tells me which stitch, because I love the multitude of stitches.
And your interest area is surface embroidery? Is that
the surface embroidery at the moment, yep.
At the moment. At the moment. I love that. At the moment. Yeah.
I can never tell. Depends on the fabric and thread. But I loved learning all the different techniques that I vaguely knew. But to have a little go, and I made a bookmark in every technique, or a little square in every technique. And I'm very Scottish, see? And don't waste the fabric. So having done all of that, what I discovered was I now know what I'm looking at. If I look at an exhibition, I know what that technique is most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So trying everything helped me see.
Yeah. You're right, April. That bookmark is
right? She's a single-minded woman.
Wow. Locked in.
And I had my go at needlepoint, which I always enjoyed. I have a William Morris needlepoint cushion, and I'm looking at needlepoint books in the library now, and it's a shame you're not here, because there's one that I just loved, and I did every stitch from that book, so that was my needlepoint sampler. I love the different, and see, as a scientist and someone who likes maths, and that's the area I sort of came from, needlepoint's very maths and science.
And April, you walked in the door and they shoved a needle in your hand and...
And a piece of for a bookmark, really, you know. no, I was, you know, I've always liked stitching. My grandmother did teach me, and as a kid, I would always be like, you know, Nanny, I want to do another sewing project. I want to sew something. So I'd be doing lots of little pieces, you know. And then my mother sews as well. She's an embroiderer and a quilter. But my sort of, I suppose, love of it all came from the history side of it. So I work in museums and galleries, and I work with historic dress collections, or I have. And so I loved seeing the original pieces and, you know, gold work on 16th century cloaks or embroidered and 18th century waistcoats. And I just thought, this is the most gorgeous thing. And so I walked in and saw all the amazing pieces here. I just fell in love with it. And I've got to say, being in this space is really... encourage me to try embroidery again, to pick up a needle, because it really is quite an inspirational space in that respect. So I will step forward from my current level of amateurism. And
and what technique is your amateurism working on?
Is my amateurism working on? Again, I've done some bookmarks with Wendy, so I tend to sort of...
I think we knew that, April. We had that.
So when I was a child, my grandmother would make me do rows of different stitches. And then, so I've got a bit of basics and a few different things, but I'm just sort of waiting for a free weekend with a workshop, and then I'll come along and see what's around. Really, anything looks good, to be honest. I'm happy to try whatever's at hand.
There we go. That whole dress, antique dress thing is interesting. I had, and of course now I'm not going to remember her name, the curator at Winterthur. And that's where she started, was the dresses and the designs and all the trimmings that go with them. And there's a lady in England, Isabella Pitcher, who makes period dresses, period authentic dresses from scratch. And follow her on Instagram. And what a fascinating world that, I mean, you talk about art with those dresses. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's an amazing world. And it's, like I have any interest in sewing a dress, but I find it, I just really enjoy watching her design those dresses and all the different parts. And that's another art to me. That is another art form. That isn't just clothes.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say decorative arts definitely falls into the arts category. And, you know, seeing some of the 20s dress pieces we have in the collection and the beading and the embroidery on those, like, there's no way you can look at that and say it's not art. It's just stunning. So, yeah, it's an easy way to fall in love with embroidery, I think,
yeah,
by wearing it.
Well, and you look at that, you look at that and all the embroidery that went, that in the old days went on clothing, and then what we wear today. Well, what you women wear today, not me. But, you know.
No judgment, Gary. You do you.
But it's such a extreme ends of the spectrum in terms of, I mean, those things were pieces of art that, from what little I've learned, were kept and passed on and instead of worn and then thrown away. And it's a fascinating world to me.
Definitely. And you definitely find lots of like 18th century pieces that have been remade of 17th century work. So it's fun trying to figure out when the embroidery, because the embroidery really will be what dates the piece in a way, whereas the style of the dress will be what changes. Because as you say, people just alter it because the work is what's important in the piece.
It's just interesting the way all this comes together at some level.
Yes. We just define embroidery as decoration. There's too big a hang-up from when we grew up. Even April feels it. Keeps saying I'm an amateur. And we judge ourselves on embroidery where we never do on all sorts of other things. If you're cooking, you don't make apologies that you're a beginner. But with embroidery, everybody seems to. And it's such a sad hang-up. One of the lovely things we have in our collection is a wedding dress from Nuristan, which is north of Pakistan. And this dress has layers. You couldn't count how many generations have added to this dress. You can see the difference in the colour dyeing of the thread, in the type of fabric. It's the sort where coins were stitched on. We've been able to date the coins to 1970s in Pakistan. So these people were refugees from Afghanistan when the Russians were there. And this dress has story after story, but the main one, we had a group of Afghani women in here in December, and when I showed it to them, they all started to talk to one another, and then the translator had to help me through because we had 6 Afghani pieces of embroidery for them to teach us about. But with this dress, the main thing I found later, they were talking about family. They were guessing where the mother's piece was, where the auntie's piece was, where was the grandmother's piece. And all then they started talking about all sorts of things. They left me out of it. But it was very, very interesting how they talked about just because of being there in the room with this one piece.
So they knew there was history there and they latched right onto that. Oh.
Yes, because they'd had to leave their history behind.
Uh-huh.
They had brought some embroidery with them. 3 of them had brought embroidery with them. And one of them, it was the most beautiful creamy coloured. It was a polyester, but you could tell the idea had been for silk, but she'd had to make it in polyester. And it was counted thread work in the narrowest little band on the bottom of those lovely fluffy trousers they wear. And on that day, the visitors were in one room with Mohammed Saeed, the artist that April was talking about. In the other room was our social group, the Hardanger group, counted work, all sorts of things. And one of our lovely members who teaches it to beginners was teaching a beginner. So we had an expert and a beginner and others who were interested, and they came out to see this young girl's pieces. And she was staggered that anybody knew what it was, that anybody who wasn't from where she didn't know this stuff went all around the world, these ideas, these thoughts, these stitches.
I'm jealous. You guys are having way too much fun there. This is.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not a big overseas traveler, but I've always said that Australia is one of the 2 or 3 places in the world I'd love to go if I could be there for 2 or 3 weeks. And
yes, you don't want less than that.
No. Yeah, it's not a 2-day trip by any stretch.
No.
Yeah.
But we'll find a bed for you.
Okay. All right. When I get there, I'll hunt you down. Yep.
Good. We'll be here.
Now, for those of us who can't get there, all of these exhibitions, do you put them on your website so people can see them? Are there ways for people to see at least a taste of what you're doing?
Our social media is probably the best way. I tend to keep a few photos happening of what's on the walls at the moment. Our website will give you the dates and the times when you can see it. But otherwise, if you follow our Instagram, you'll see at least a taster of every different exhibition.
So that's where to go, is the Instagram page.
Yeah, that will keep you updated on what's happening on the walls of the gallery.
Okay. And I'll have a link for this podcast, but it's Instagram/gallery76_
Queen Street, exactly.
Yeah, Queen Street, yes. So, but I'll put a link so that people can find it, because I got to believe some people are going to want to keep tabs on this. This is fun. Oh, and then Wendy, yes. 2018 Arts and Culture Citizen of the Year. Oh, talk about that.
Now you're embarrassing me.
No. Brag, please.
Well, this is one of those things where, yes, it's me, but there's an army behind me. And, yeah, Margaret's saying it's me.
Yeah.
I live about 10 minutes from where the Guild building is. And so a lot of others do a lot of travelling. So I'm sort of the one that's here. I'm the meet and greet. And I'm the one, the dogged little one that hung on through.
You're meant to be bragging, Wendy.
I'm bragging. But our local council, we have federal government, state government, and then local government. And our local government on last Saturday, which was our Australia Day, have a special ceremony. And in that ceremony, there were four citizens of the year. One who's the overall citizen of the year, and he's worked in business and promoting ethnic businesses in the area. And then I'm the citizen of the year for arts and culture, because this is the only gallery in the electorate. This is the only public one, and this is the only one with art welcoming people 7 days a week. And the fact that we're a headquarters for all of New South Wales, that matters. Then there was a young citizen of the year and a sports citizen of the year. So there were four of us. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of the ceremony was about 30 wonderful people from about 25 different countries who became citizens of Australia on that day and took their oath.
Oh.
So part of what...
Oh, how neat is that? Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. So it was part of being something very important to us all and very big to us all. And within that, the mayor spoke about the people who choose to be Australian and the ones who were born here, and talked about that, linked it in this area. And then he linked the fact that these people were now part of this area and encouraged them to become part of things, and explained about, told the story of what the four citizens of the year had been part of and how these people were welcome to be part of that.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's
and
nice.
I think embroidery is such an obvious tool for that in a way, because as Wendy's been saying, you know, it's a global thing. You know, we've got Chinese and Norwegian and Middle Eastern, and it's just something that brings everyone together, which is great in a multicultural country like Australia.
Yeah. Well, and I just love that I can just tell that the multicultural thing is just absolutely a part of the fabric of what you guys are doing. And that's very nice.
You can see it in the library. There are books on every technique from every country and every culture, and all of those differences are there. There are books on the fashion from all those different places. The collection definitely reflects that, and even our tutors reflect that, and our members certainly do. But while we were trying to raise the money for this, we had to prove that this funny little old building we had could stay open at night, could stay open at the weekend, and could have events. So instead of just what we used to call a room display, and members took turns to put their work up from different groups, we started having specific exhibitions. So we had an exhibition of the embroidery from the Netherlands and brought together all the members and the community. Another month we had Chinese, another month we had Indian, we had people from Ukraine, Italian, Greek, and every time we did these, we brought in other members, other people knew who we were. They showed their embroidery to us often they donated, and so it just grew and grew. So when we first moved in last year, we had to prove very quickly that we were a gallery for textiles. So each exhibition last year was something that brought a whole bunch of people and all sorts of contemporary to say, we don't just make doilies. And then this year, that rattled a few people because it was pretty contemporary. So this year, the samplers are proving we're traditional as well as contemporary, and we're settling a lot of the traditional people and bringing the history in. Then we will start going back to these different ethnic ones, and there will be one different culture at least every year and possibly more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, loud applause to you guys. That's just terrific. What a great program. Yay for you.
No, we have fun doing it. And Wendy, to brag for her, is just like this powerhouse energy who's just so enthusiastic at everything and gets everyone on board with everything she suggests. So, yeah, it's great fun. And, yeah, she's a fantastic president of the Guild.
Yeah, I could kind of tell there was a little nuclear reactor sitting next to you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's blushing.
Yeah. Well, ladies, I really appreciate the time. This has been, it's just so much fun to learn what others are doing. And I'm sure that for our listeners, there's some ideas for what they might do come out of this. And just a loud applause for what you're accomplishing there. It's just fantastic. And April, thanks so much for asking me to just promote the sampler event. Yep, I saw that. And yep. No. We're not just going to promote an event. We got to talk.
Yeah.
We got to talk. So, all right, I appreciate it, ladies. And thanks to everybody for listening. And be back on Wednesday with Debbie Raleigh.